Dun dun. Dun 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 dun. No, I guess not. I was hoping. How would the intro to Jaws be? I never thought of that.
Sports time review. All sports, all the time.
Let's roll out the Tuesday edition of Sports Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack. With me is Dan the Man. If you would like to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If, hey, you don't feel like calling into the podcast, go ahead and email us. What's the email? SportsTimeRadio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to SportsTimeRadio.com. Now, you know, the blogs go up on Wednesdays and Saturday mornings, so look for something popping up there. Hopefully sometime tomorrow morning. Of course, while you're at SportsTimeRadio.com, go ahead and hit that link. Get yourself over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could like that while you're over there, well, hey, we'd greatly appreciate that. Don't forget, we also have the Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Now, you can find Dan and I on Twitter as well. I am at Burke Time, and Dan the Man is at?
Dan the Man with Twitter.
All right, Dan, so it is a gigantic night in the NBA, and I'm not talking about that anything that's actually going to happen on the court itself. It's lottery time. Now, the Knicks, the Cavaliers, and the Suns have the best chance to win the lottery. They're the top three, and then the Bulls are right there at four. I believe the Lakers have like a 1% chance to win. Who wins the draft lottery tonight? Or I guess we should say the Zion Williams lottery tonight. Who's gonna get them?
I feel like the Suns.
Oh yeah, that's a bit of a surprise. I thought for sure you would end up going another way there. I personally feel that somehow the Lakers are going to be the team that pops up and ends up in the number one spot. I don't know how they'll work it out. I just got kind of the feeling that that's going to happen. You know, we've known for years now that the draft lottery is fixed. No, you know, obviously nobody wants to admit it, but it's clearly set up in situations like this. So I figure he's a Laker or a Knick. But the interesting thing I kind of heard about this that I thought was a little strange for teams that I guess you could say are rebuilding, maybe not the Lakers, but LeBron, they're kind of on their way, but like a Knicks team that's just been bad for so long, is that apparently if the Knicks or the Lakers were to win this pick, they would try to trade it to the Pelicans for Anthony Davis. Are you in on that, or do you think, maybe the Lakers because of where they are with LeBron, but, I mean, does that sense for a team like the Knicks to do that?
I mean, it's pretty feasible. You know, I think the Lakers more so than the Knicks, but what is Porzingis play? But he and Zion step on each other's toes. Or, I'm sorry.
Remember,
he and David.
Remember, Porzingis plays for Dallas. No.
Oh, that's right.
and he got beat up by some Knicks fans in the other day. So.
I don't know. I mean, the general sense is you don't, you know, teams like that. Well, I think we both know LeBron doesn't play with rookies.
Yeah.
He doesn't have a great history of playing with them. So I think it's definitely something the Lakers would do. The Knicks, maybe. I don't know. I think either guy would definitely be a draw. So it's hard to say on that one.
Yeah, well, for some reason, and this is one of those things I don't understand, and again, it kind of drops into where you got to kind of wonder if maybe the fix is already in or if they've they've got a pre-existing agreement, but everybody you listen to seems to be convinced that Kevin Durant is going to the Knicks as a free agent this offseason. So I could see them wanting them to pair him with somebody like an Anthony Davis. But, you know, if they're right on Zion Williamson, I mean, you're trading what could be a generational talent. And, you know, I get Davis is a, you know, he's a very good player. But you're also looking at a guy that has a lot of injuries through his career. So I don't know if you're getting, you know, the Anthony Davis from a few years ago, or if you're getting the veteran that's going to be banked up all the time and not a lot of help, instead of a young kid that, you know, you can carry your franchise for 10 plus 15 plus years if you can keep him signed and, you know, keep him happy.
He'd be like the next Patrick Ewing.
Exactly. That's exactly what I was thinking about when it came to the Knicks. He literally could be the next Patrick Ewing. You know, he could be the guy that the franchise just builds around for, you know, Ewing was unable to bring a championship there. You know, they still had some really good teams with him as the centerpiece. So, you know, they have won a championship had they not had to go up against Jordan and the Bulls. You know, first it was the Pistons, then it was the Bulls. You know, the Knicks had a tough break there back when the Eastern Conference was dominant. So, but, yeah, I just find it kind of odd. The other thing I found kind of weird is I think I saw about six people on the Mickey Mouse Network rooting for the Atlanta Hawks to win the draft lottery. And I don't know when the last time anybody wanted the Atlanta Hawks to win anything. So I thought that was kind of strange.
Maybe because they're supposed to redo their stadium.
Yeah, that's true. They are getting something new, aren't they? Yeah, maybe that's the maybe that's what they're hoping for. And you know, and I know they, you know, they have some young talent. You know, I mean, Trae Young ended up being a lot better than he started out. He struggled so much early. There were so many people doubting him, but he ended up having a pretty solid season. They have some other complementary pieces that I think if Zion Williamson was there, you know, it could become an interesting mix. I don't think it's a playoff team by adding him, but you know, they would probably be better. And you know, of course, it is Atlanta, so that nobody is still going to go to the games. But you know, at least they would be improved. He could be the next Dominique, right?
Pretty much.
So, well, you know, we'll have to see who gets the big win tonight. I believe it's 7:30 on the Mickey Mouse Network. If you're looking there, Central Time. Obviously, there's a lot of filler because the drawing itself doesn't take very long. So, you know, we'll see how that goes. But hey, we'll have something to talk about tomorrow, right?
Exactly.
So. You know, and I don't even know how to describe this while we're on the NBA here, Dan, but this is probably one of the odder stories that you run across when it comes to this. You know, Enes Kanter used to be part of the Knicks. They waived him, and the Portland Trail Blazers ended up picking him up. Now, interestingly, and I don't remember the full issue of how it happened. I believe he's from Turkey. Kanter came out against the Turkish government.
Yeah.
You know, so now he's wanted. He's actually, you know, a criminal in Turkey, technically. The Trailblazers, it was actually Oregon Senator Ron, I'm guessing this is Wyden, sent a letter to Justin Trudeau, who's the Canadian Prime Minister, making sure that Cantor would have safe passage into Canada for any of the games that the Blazers have to go to Toronto and play the Raptors, you know, in case this ends up being the finals matchup. I don't think, with the Blazers having to beat the Warriors, I don't believe this is a big concern, but it is kind of an interesting story. Have you ever heard of anything odd like this before happening?
No, I would say the majors, well, the three major in our country, the Canadians aren't really making it to the championships. Well, I guess the Blue Jays did in 93, 94.
Yeah.
But, no, I've never really heard of that, but I've also never really heard of, you know, a case where a guy spoke out against his home country and is now a fugitive, so... You know, I wonder how long before he applies for refugee status.
Yeah, it just, you know, it seemed like the weirdest thing. And, you know, to even take it one step further, Dan, if you live in Turkey, you can't watch the Western Conference Finals because they will not show it because Cantor's on the Trailblazers. So they're blacking out the games because he's playing in them. So yeah, I guess I don't know how to kind of look at that, you know. And I believe they actually do open tonight. It's when it goes to state to get that series going. So you know, if you're in Turkey, you're gonna have to find a different source on how to watch it because you won't be able to see it there. It's blacked out. You know, I know the only thing I've ever heard close to this is if I remember correctly. Ferguson Jenkins, of all players, he was actually barred from entering Canada because I believe he was arrested for, I think he had a small amount of marijuana at one point in time, and he got arrested before, you know, marijuana was cool. I'm not even sure if you were alive when this happened, maybe because the Blue Jays weren't in existence. But, yeah, he, you know, so he was denied entrance into the country. I mean, that didn't affect him. You know, it's safety or anything, but that's about the closest I've ever seen anything like that. And it's, you know, and I guess maybe, you know, especially here, we don't really think of governments involved in sports like that, but I guess around the world, it's a different story, right? Have you ever looked into this?
Not really, but I mean, the confusing thing, and I'm trying to find his residential status. You know, Enos lives in New York now. He was born in Zurich, but he debuted in 2008 with the Turkish national team in the FIBA. So, I mean, you know, that's his nationality, but he doesn't live there, and he wasn't born there. I don't know how they have right to declare anything on him.
Well, I believe his family is there as well. I believe they live in Turkey. So that's, you know, that's got to be kind of frightening for them with stuff that kind of goes on, you know, in other places. So.
Yeah, but you would think if his family was there, they'd be arrested or possibly killed.
Yeah, I don't know, to be honest. I don't know much about the situation. I'm thinking, you know, I'm more just the Trump who writes, you know, a couple times a week blog. Maybe, you know, do some research and write like an expose on it, you know, because that would probably, you know, fit a little better. I don't think that's something I could handle, but you're, you know, the smart one here, so we would have to see how that works out, but. I just, you know, it's just such a weird situation. You know, obviously you don't want anything to happen, but I, if the situation arises, what do you think? The NBA checks for security?
No, I think he just might not go. He didn't go to London.
Yeah, that is always a possibility. So. You know, it may be, in all honesty, it may be in his best interest not to go, to be, you know, depending on what, you know, if and what they say. And again, this is, you know, a big if here, because they're going to have to get by the Warriors. And even without Kevin Durant, that's still going to be a difficult task. But, you know, it is something quite possible that we might have to have to look at and deal with. But all right, that's about the extent of my international politics knowledge. How about you?
Surprisingly, not a lot more on the topic.
You know that, and I only know that because it's associated with sports. But you mentioned, you know, before we got on, if I had done my daily FanDuel stuff, and I did. I always jump in and play. I realized, you know, especially the free ones, if FanDuel sends out a free anything, I'll play it. I don't care what sport it is. But I was telling you about my home run derby lineup, our home run challenge, which is a little goofy for today. I've been taking some zeros, so I decided to just find, you know, kind of guys that you might not think who could homer that are in ballpark where they could homer. Makes a lot of sense. Probably not, but that's what I'm going with. So, Dan, I ended up with Starling Marte, Colton Wong, and Steven Peters as my three picks today. So I figure I'll probably get 9 homers, 3 out of each guy, and it'll just be dumb luck, and I won't know anything else. So there you go. Who did – I know you said you went with all number 2 hitters. Who did you go with?
Christian Yelich, Alex Bregman, and the third guy.
Yes.
Paul Goldschmidt.
Oh, okay. Christian Yelich, Alex Bregman, and just some other third guy. Just anybody else who was in that. Which would probably work.
You know,
if it helps you, Monte is hitting second. Good for me.
Yeah, well, I mean, I was going to say, if 10 years ago, I would have had all three guys batting second in the NL Central.
Well, 10 years ago, you had all three guys batting third in the NL Central. So,
yeah, that's true.
You know, because they would, you know, obviously they would have, you know, it would have made more sense for them to hit third instead of stabilometrically hitting second. So,
or possibly fourth.
You know, just. Yeah, in reality, you know, Goldschmidt was probably a cleanup hitter, you know, 10 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's just one of those one of those lovely ways that the game has adapted and how things work out. But, you know, one of the things I ran across with this, kind of stumble into sabermetrics here, is apparently it's used quite a lot in betting. And I saw a guy talking about, it just happened to be the Cubs-Reds game today. He really liked taking the Reds and the under, which means they were going to score less than, I think it was, 4 runs. And then he wanted the under for the game, which was less than 9 runs. You know, Dan, I got to tell you, you know, I'm obviously not a gambler per se, but with as odd as baseball is, it's got to be the hardest sport of the Big Four to bet.
Say that again.
I said, as odd as baseball is, you know, weird, you know, it seems like the weirdest things happen in baseball. Is it the hardest of the Big Four sports to bet?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, the outcomes are completely different than the expectations more than half the time, I would say.
Yeah, because, you know, I know occasionally you get your NBA or your NHL upset, but, you know, in baseball, I mean, you get, you know, more or less multiple upsets on a daily basis. You know, and like, you know, I'm sure there were a lot of people who probably could have, you know, predicted that Cleveland was going to beat the White Sox. You know, You know, the White Sox had won the first two games in the series. You figured the Indians were due. But, you know, could you have predicted that there were going to be 9 runs scored in the game? I mean, and all by the Indians? So you had to bet the White Sox in the under, and then whatever the total for the game was, you know, I'm sure the Indians went over their projected total. So, I mean, I don't know. I would go broke so fast, Dan, I'd be living in your basement with your nephew. Oh, wait, he's gone. So.
Yeah, he's gone. Well, I think you'd get stuck down there. I don't know if you could handle it.
Yes, I would. So, you know, that I would just, that's why I said I'd be living in your basement, literally. So.
You'd be writing a lot of blogs.
I wouldn't be able to leave. I would be like an ogre or something down there. But, yeah, do you think, if you had the time to sit down and do the research and put it all together, could you handle it? You know, I mean, could you throw money down game after game? How many games that haven't started tonight here? You know, probably what? 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. There's 12 games that haven't started tonight. Could you imagine betting on all 12 and trying to pick the winner?
You know, it's funny you bring that up because this weekend I was at my sister's new house and her threw on this show from Showtime about sports gamblers. And
yes. They
had this guy on there that, you know, won $2.5 million by throwing, like, I think it was $30,000 on the Royals to win the World Series. So, you know, now he makes money telling people how to gamble. But, you know, the one thing I noticed watching the show, though, is the fact that, you know, it seemed like all the people that were into the hardcore gambling, like these guys were, sitting in the sports rooms in Vegas, were all single. And the professional ones, they didn't have jobs. And the guys who were trying to become pros and so kind of technically amateurs, when you looked at their dwellings, they were pretty bare except for a computer. And, you know, I just looked at my sister and her boyfriend, and I was like, man, you know, these are the guys you read about that just die one day. You know, sitting at the kitchen table or watching a sports game and they just literally have a heart attack and die. And, you know, I know that's an elaborate way to answer your question, but no, I could not sit around and do that all day. I can't imagine the stress level. I would think it's worse than the stock market.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, like, I have stress issues betting a dollar on a FanDuel lineup. You know, I mean, I'd be sitting there, and I know the thing you're talking about. I forgot the name of it. I saw the one they did on the Super Bowl where, you know, guys had not only bets on the game, but they had prop bets. And, they literally were betting on just about anything. I think I saw a guy who actually won the coin toss bet, you know, that he had put money down on the coin toss. So, the stress level has got to be nuts, and imagine God trying to pay your bills that way. I mean, if you have one bad day, you know, you're with the rent or the mortgage or the car payment, and then if you have a couple bad days, you're in the car that you're hopefully paying for. So. Maybe we'll have to do that one day as an experiment. Try to pick some games and see if, you know, you and I can make some money doing it. Obviously, we fake money and just pretend to do it, but we'll have to see how that goes.
Yeah, well, I mean, I tried doing it with that one website, MyBookie. But you know, I don't. I never really understood the over-unders and all the other crap that goes along with it. So I just kind of gave up on it.
Yeah, the thing that always gets me with baseball, and I think they do it with hockey as well, is I'm trying to remember how to describe it or figure out how to describe it. They have like the plus 100 or plus 180 or something, and I'm not sure. Like, yeah, here I found something. Like in one, the Cubs are minus 125 and plus 115, or the Reds are plus 115. Now I don't know what that means. So, you know, it's kind of like, okay, well, obviously I would have to, you know, kind of look in and learn this, you know, learn this. But, yeah, that, you know, that would throw me off. Obviously, I don't want to bet on anything that, you know, I'm clueless on. So see my family, I'd be probably playing clueless anyways with the way they're going. So... But let me see if they have the basketball line for tonight. But you could bet there. Chip team standings. I don't want that. That's what I want. All right. It looks like, Dan, if I'm reading this right, the Warriors are, depending on where you go, they're 7.5 to 10 favorite or an 8 to 10 favorite. And then it looks like the under is 218 minus 10. And again, that's something I have no idea what. So, there any, you know, I'd love to get an explanation on this, but. You know, obviously, I get what the 8 to, you know, 8-10, I understand that. They're favored to win between, you know, 8 and 10 points. But, yeah, the other stuff just, I don't get that. But we'll have to figure that out one day. See if we can just kind of mess around and see if it's different. Appreciate that. So.
Yeah, and you know, growing up, I know my dad did a lot of gambling, more so on football, and then, you know, when it came to baseball, they had the 13-run pool and the home run pool, which I never won the home run pool, but you know, I just always assumed when you bet, it was just, you know, like you brought up the Warriors and the Blazers, you know, that you were betting on who was going to win, you know, $50 and then on the winner, you know, I didn't realize as I got older that so much more went into it with the lines and, you know, the scoring and who's going to cover what, and I'm like, what the hell are they covering? I don't, point spreads and I don't get any of that stuff.
Yeah, no, I only know the simplest of it, and I actually had a year when I was little in pizza, you know, they had a guy take bet, and I had a real good night one night, so I bet $10 on each of the NFL wildcard games, did all my bets, and I never saw the guy again. So
they took all your money and ran.
No, yeah. Oddly, he didn't take my money up front. You know, I told him what I wanted. I gave him my slip. He didn't take my money. You know, and obviously, when you do something like that, their profit is they get. I think they take a buck. So you're betting. Technically, you're betting $10, but you're paying $11. So, but yeah, and then yeah, I hit everything. He disappeared. And the guy who hooked me up to the pizza place quit. So. But yeah, that was the last time I ever did anything like that, you know, except with my, you know, my friends, you know, $5 here, $5 there, you know, doing that kind of stuff. So.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if you really want to discuss some, I don't know if you call it a prop bet, but I actually won $5 yesterday. One of my friends didn't believe that I could still hop a fence. And, you know, and to be honest, I can, but it's It's not as easy as it once was. You know, when I was a pro wrestler, I mean, what were those ropes set at, Big Jack? Was that like 4 foot? The height?
Yeah, 4 feet, yeah. Oh.
Yeah, so I mean, you know, I mean, I just hop on the apron and in and out over the top. You know, I could do that all day. And then yesterday I had to, you know, as my wife said, you're going to think yourself into the fence. So, yeah. So I made it over, but I only got paid for one side, so I didn't do the complete leap. I was like $5 both times. They're like, no, just $5 for once. I was like, well, screw you. You don't get the video for the other half.
There's a video? Oh, why isn't that on Facebook?
Yeah.
Or YouTube or something, you know.
Yeah, well, it wouldn't go viral unless my foot caught the top pole and, you know, my pants ripped or something like that.
Yeah, but then we could send it to, you know, out to all our, you know, guys on the Sports Time Radio Facebook page who are nice enough to follow us and, you know, all that stuff.
Yeah.
So.
Well, and then you could send it to Vince, right? Or Stephanie or Triple H.
Or whoever. Yeah, you know, that would work out perfectly. So, and just the way things go there. There it is. That's what I was looking for. So, but you know, while we're on, I guess, you know, gambling or however you want to look at it, betting. I did mention the Indians did beat the White Sox 9-0. So if you had Carlos Carrasco, obviously he put up good numbers for you today. He got his fourth win to go against three losses. 7 innings, 6 hits, obviously didn't give up any runs. He had 6 strikeouts. So, you know, he was a big plus. The Indians, I think it was 5 homers. Roberto Perez hit his 5th. Jose Ramirez hit his 4th. Jake Bowers hit his 4th. Jordan Lupo hit 2. Ended up being, yeah, looks like they have him for 4 here. So he hit a 3rd and 4th homer. So if you had those guys, you're racking it up. Lupo was the only guy with multiple RBIs. He had 3. On the right back side, the only guy with more hit was, the only one hit was a lot, so he had 2. So, there.
Yeah, I'll be honest. I saw earlier that they were pretty much the only day game kind of going on that is the White Sox and Indians, and the Cubs are in the top of the 2nd out there in Cincy. But, you know, I saw that the White Sox Indians were the, you know, the only day game. So I was about, you know, I figured, oh, when I go on lunch, I'll just throw that on. You know, I'll come back to it. I tuned in like the 5th inning, and they were already down 6-0. I was like, hey, I'll just watch Netflix. You know, and I feel bad, but, you know, being a Cubs fan, you know, of course, I'm supposed to knock the White Sox and this, that, and whatever. But, I mean, you know, I went to a game where they played really well in really crappy conditions, but it was against the Kansas City Royals, who are kind of equivalent in the standings and maybe in the quote-unquote rebuild that they're both trying to do or not do. I don't know what the hell either team's doing. But then I go to a game where I watch them play little league defense up until the 8th inning against the Red Sox, and it just completely baffles me. And, you know, the White Sox are easier to watch on TV now that the Homer Hawk is gone, but, you know, so that you don't get the, you're going to put on the board. You know, hey, Hawk, calm down. You're losing 10-0. One home run. I mean, you know, it's true that he used to do that, but, you know, it's getting so hard to watch the team. They got a lot of young talent, and I want to like these guys. You know, I'm definitely interested in Tim Anderson. He's taken a while, but he's coming along much better than, say, it took them to get Gordon Beckham, who's still bouncing around. I think he's, what, Detroit now, or Atlanta?
Yeah.
No, Detroit.
Yeah.
But, you know, I mean, Yoan Moncada, I don't know if he didn't play any third base in the preseason, but he does not look like he has a clue of what the hell he's doing at third base. I would love to take him and Yomar Sanchez and mix them up, you know, push them together, because Yomar plays some pretty solid defense at third, and, you know, Moncada would make up for it with the bat. Some of the guys in the outfield, you know, pretty solid, but again, you know, you don't really have any superstars, not that you have to have when you're still rebuilding, but I mean, you just, this team, more so than any, you kind of know who the Cubs are. So when it comes to this White Sox, you don't know who the hell you have. And all predictions of getting them rolling and in postseason run, quite possibly as early as next year, for me, when I look at this team, I'm like, what the hell team are you watching? And Bruce Levine, where's your just a little bit of objectivity when it comes to covering these teams?
Yeah. You know how that goes. Yeah, you know, the weird thing with the White Sox is, like, it's enjoyable to watch, you know, Lucas Giolito go out there, or Ronaldo Lopez, or even Ivan Nova, the veteran guy. But then you get, you know, I mean, today's starter was Manny, I think it's Bonilla. Yeah, and obviously this is going to be a problem. You know, I mean, in reality, Michael Kopech should be having one of these spots right now, but he's obviously out with Tommy John. You know, Carlos Rodon just went down. So you're kind of piecemealing it with these guys who either, A, aren't ready for the majors, or B, don't belong in a major league rotation. But this is where the White Sox still are in this rebuild. So unless the guy just kind of catches fire and has a fantastic game, which, you know, can bubble. I mean, we did just see Myers with his, you know, 7 ERA throw no-hitter. So, you know, occasionally these guys can go out and have a really good outing. But the majority of the time, I mean, they're going to get pounded by major league hitters. You know, the best the White Sox can hope is that they're going to win 3 out of every 5 games, and that's only if Lopez, Giolito, and Nova pitch fantastic. And, you know, that's not going to happen. So this is, you know, this is kind of their lot right now until, you know, they can get the prospects and the guys they want who look like they'll have up there. And, you know, we'll see. And this is what these teams go through. You know, the Cubs went through it. The Astros went through it.
Yeah.
You know, the Reds who greatly improved their pitching staff this year are still going through it. So, you know, we'll see where they go and how they try to work it out. But yeah, they are clearly multiple years away, probably 3 or 4 from contending, and like all those guys really block them. And I just don't see that happening.
No, and you know, the thing that kills me the most though is, I'm a little less concerned. I mean, we need the development in the bat, of course, but with the talent that they have at the level, some of the way the defense has just totally screwed things up. I'm like, you shouldn't be this far behind when it comes to the defense.
Yeah, especially when your coach is supposed to be a teacher like that, but. I did see the Cubs have jumped out to a 2-0 lead on the Reds. We're headed into the bottom of the second, and the Cubs scored their runs on a double by Kyle Hendricks. So he's out there helping himself. So there you go. See, so sometimes you got to do that as a pitcher. I don't think I mentioned, but Tanner Roark was the starter for the Reds in that game, and they're headed to the bottom of the seventh. We got a couple games that are just getting ready to kick off here. We got the Mets at the Nationals. That's Noah Syndergaard against Jeremy Hellickson tonight. And then we also have the Brewers at the Phillies. That's Brandon Woodruff against Jared Eichhoff. Should be getting to roll any second there. And then we're only about a minute away from first pitch in some other games. But here's what else we got. Colorado at Boston. Kyle Freeland and Chris Sale get the start there. Houston is at Detroit. It's Wade Miley and Ryan Carpenter as the starters. Tampa is at Miami. Charlie Morton and Caleb Smith will start there. We got St. Louis at Atlanta. Jack Flaherty and Mike Foltynewicz are the starting pitchers there. The Los Angeles Angels are at the Minnesota Twins. Cam Bedrosian is making a start there for the Angels. I don't know if they're doing the opener or not with him, because he's been a reliever and he has even done some closing there, but he's making the start today. The Twins go with Kyle Gibson. The Texas is at Kansas City. It's Shelby Miller and Danny Duffy starting there. Pittsburgh is at Arizona. It's Joe Musgrove and Luke Weaver to start off on the mound. Toronto is at San Francisco. It's Trent Thornton against Nick Vincent. San Diego is at Los Angeles. This is a really good pitching matchup to start. Chris Paddock goes for the Padres. He's been really good. And then Clayton Kershaw getting the start for the Dodgers. If you've got the Mickey Mouse app, that's their game there tonight. And then the night wraps up with Oakland at Seattle. It's Brett Anderson against Mike Leake. And then for the second day in a row, the Orioles at the Yankees were postponed. So there you go. You're all set. There's your Major League lineup, your Major League Baseball lineup for tonight. So we'll see how things go and what kind of shakes out. But there are some the most interesting pitching matchup, of course, is Chris Paddock against Clayton Kershaw. But I saw today that Charlie Morton, and I'd love to know the guy who has to break this stuff down, has the lowest batting, or is the pitcher with the lowest batting average when he throws curveballs. Apparently they're hitting it might be 0.93 or 0.83 against his curveball. So that was kind of interesting. And of course he's facing Caleb Smith, who has easily been the Marlins' best pitcher and quite a surprise for them. Of course, I guess at this point, anytime a Marlin does well, it's a bit of a surprise. But that could lead into some, a really decent matchup there. I guess I'm going to have to double check when things get going and see if Bedrosian is just the Angels opener, or if they did decide that, they're going to move him into the starting rotation. I believe he is actually Steve Bedrosian's son. So, we'll see how that goes. And then there were some people out there, or a lot of people probably out there who drafted Jed Lowry, stored him on their IL after the year he had last year in Oakland. But sadly, he had a setback in his rehab last night. He was playing at AAA. He's with the Mets now. He signed the big deal there. 2 years, $20 million. And he apparently strained a hamstring last night. He's recovering from a knee injury. But, yeah, he strained a hamstring in his rehab stint at AAA. So they're pushing the timetable back on his return. It looks like they're going to shut him down for 2 weeks, and then they're going to reevaluate him. So that's tough. I know, in today's game, you look and, it's so weird to say, but, $10 million a year isn't really that much for a player. But, Lowry's coming, he was coming off a fantastic year with the A's. And I get it, he's 35 now, and you wonder if he could renew that. But, he looked like he was going to add, some offense to that Mets lineup. And, they're 39 games deep now. You figure if he's shut down for two more weeks, then he's got to start doing baseball activities again. You figure he might be 3 weeks to a month away. So you're looking at 50 plus games out of a guy that, you were kind of counting on, and they're floating around right at 500, 4.5 behind the Phillies. So, it's not like going away, but, it'd be fantastic if they could add his bat back into their lineup. And at this point, you got to kind of start looking and wondering the tagline is funny to me when I say only $10 million, you got to start to wonder if maybe that was a bad signing for, Brody Van Wagenen and those guys. And, we'll have to see if Lowry can give them anything as the season moves on. But, right now it's squat for them. So, but just kind of how things go. So, all right, Dan, quiz time. Who's got the longest winning streak in baseball?
The Pirates? I don't know.
No, the Houston Astros, 6 in a row. And then in return, who has the longest losing streak? This should be easy for you.
The White Sox?
No, no, no. Who stinks worse than the White Sox? Who's the worst team in Major League Baseball that one of my favorite guys plays for?
The Reds?
No, the Marlins. They've lost 5 in a row.
Oh, the Marlins. I mean, I don't know. Baseball, that's not even a streak. You don't start counting streaks till you hit 9.
Well, any kind of, you know, I think, you know, any kind of streak for the Marlins, any kind of winning streak for the Marlins would be good, even if it was 1 in a row.
Yeah.
But I did notice today, and I thought this was kind of humorous, you know, I have, I believe it's 5 of the T-shirts that look like jerseys, and out of the 5 I have, 3 of the guys are no longer with the team I have the shirt for.
McCutcheon.
Pence and Cano.
Sure. Which one do you have Pence for? San Francisco?
The job. Yeah. So, you know, I think I have I have 3 that are still the same. I have Acuna Jr., obviously staying with Atlanta, Rizzo with the Cubs, and then Pujol. So.
It's not bad.
So, yeah, I have 2. I'm at 500, my shirt, you know, going one way or the other.
It's all right. I still have my Starlin Castro with the Cubs. You know what his problem was when he went with the Cubs, though? Because he went with 13. He should have never picked that number.
First
to be unlucky in Chicago.
Well, it only proved to be unlucky when they made him the scapegoat for everything that was wrong with the team. But yeah, well, apparently Dan, we're going to get to see the Brewers' top prospect finally. They put Travis Shaw on the IL, saying that he has a right wrist strain. Not to mention the fact that he has just been kind of really, really bad to start the season. Maybe that was the problem. But they're calling up, and I'm guessing this is Keston Hiru? He's a second base prospect. I thought he was only at double A, so I want to double check his stats here and see if he's making the jump or not. Oh, no, he was in triple A this year. 37 games at triple A. He is hitting .333 with 11 homers and 26 RBIs. You know, he's supposed to be the answer at second base. Part of the reason, you know, they didn't go out and sign a long-term guy this year, you know, they just brought Moustakas back, and they're tweaking it with Moustakas and Shaw at second base. I didn't see let me go the other route and see if he is actually in the Brewer lineup tonight, and maybe we could get a look at him. So that could be something of interest. My guess is he'll be a better – you know, I know Moustakas has played decent defense, and I don't think he's committed as many errors as I thought he has, but he's probably an upgrade over them. And, yeah, he is in the Brewers lineup tonight against the Phillies. He's going to hit 7. So we'll have to see if Milwaukee is right on. I know they don't have they don't have much of a predominant farm system anymore. You know, they've started piecemealing them off. But depending on where you look, he was ranked anywhere between number 6 and number 20 coming into this season as a prospect.
Not bad numbers.
Yeah, so you'll have to see if he hangs around. You might have to go out and put some waiver claims in. You know,
I get the fact that, you know, baseball players are baseball players and they should essentially play any position. But this whole new era of everyone's a utility player, you know, I just feel like it's blowing up in everyone's face, and I think it's dumb.
Yeah. So. Yeah, it's you know, it's one of those odd, you know, odd things. And I mean, there are certain guys who are, you know, made to be able to do that kind of stuff. And, you know, there are other guys who just, you know, obviously I don't want to see Anthony Rizzo playing third base. So.
No, but I mean, you know, that was a thing. I turned on the Cubs the other night and Rizzo was on the bench, or I don't know if he was given a day off or whatnot. And thing is, they don't have any other replacement for first base. Who played first base? But Chris Bryant.
Yes. Yeah, Rizzo actually had back spasms.
Oh.
The reasoning for it.
But, I mean, you short up, you have 8,000 shortstops and center, you know, outfielders, but, hey, what about Anthony Rizzo? Oh, he's just going to play every day, even though we've known for the past 3 years that he has slight back issues. Chris Bryant will do it.
Yeah, well, you know, it's nice when you can just kind of turn to Chris Bryant and say, hey, you're going to do this. I mean, you know, he's kind of turned into a super utility, at least a corner super utility guy.
Yeah.
You know, with the way things are going. So, you know, it just kind of worked out for, you know, them.
Yeah, fortunately. But, I mean, he wasn't having to make any real first baseman type plays. So, you know, I hope it continues to work out. But, I mean, just, I just don't get it. Like, it's, I don't know. I'm like the old guy telling you to get off my grass. But
well, you know, I mean, I can, you know, the shift from first to third isn't terrible. You know, a lot of guys have done that through the years. You know, remember, it used to be, and again, you're not this old, so, but, you know, that kind of used to be a natural progression for guys. Is their defense got a little poorer, they moved over to first base because, you know, quote unquote, it was an easier position to play. And so you've seen Moneyball and you hear Ron Washington go, no, it's extremely difficult, which is one of the funnier lines in the movie. But, you know, if you remember, you know, Pete Rose did it. You know, he bounced over there after actually being an outfielder and a third baseman. You know,
yeah.
The big one here in Chicago of Freddie Banks was, you know, a MVP shortstop and then moved to first base. So, you know, I mean, we've talked for how long waiting for Buster Posey to make the move. You know, Joe Mauer did it to extend his career a little bit. So...
Yeah, but the huge discrepancy in that, though, is these guys played their position until they played first base. They didn't just drive up to the park on Wednesday and were like, oh, by the way, you're playing first base today.
Well, Posey has filled in a little at first through the year. You know, obviously, he actually may have played it more than Bryant, but that's just the fact that Rizzo plays all the time. So you wonder if they didn't have Rizzo, Bryant would be playing first base.
Yeah. Well, that's my point. I mean, I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong, and maybe I just think that the consistency of playing at your position allows you to kind of concentrate on your bat as opposed to trying to figure out how you're supposed to play the position you're playing when you don't know where you're playing every day. You know, maybe it's just me.
Yeah, it's probably just you. No.
Yeah.
Open your window and tell those kids to get off your lawn there, Grandpa.
Yeah.
So.
You know, and then there's no batting practice. So, and then they wonder why is he off to a slow start? Well, because he just shows up and, I don't know, takes some swings in the clubhouse on a tee and expects that to be enough for the guys when the weather changes, each pitcher changes. I mean, I thought that was the whole point of batting practice. I'm always going to get on this one. I kind of thought that was the point. You know, you showed up for an open air stadium and you're like, oh, the wind's blowing out today and we've got a pitcher who throws like this. So we're going to try to get our batting, you know, our pitching coach to toss that kind of style of ball up to our professional hitters. Because anyone who steps up to the plate, is considered, in my book, to be a professional hitter. But, you know, I also haven't spent my life in the system to figure out that sabermetrics is the better way to go. And as long as your launch angle's on point, you'll be fine.
So, yeah, you know, that's sadly the way it kind of goes now. I mean, you know, defense and, you know, hitting, you know, what's the best way to describe it? You know, hitting the ball where it's pitched, you know,
mm-hmm.
is kind of meaningless, even though I did notice on Sunday night that they pointed out multiple times how well Javi Baez is hitting the ball to the opposite field. And that he actually has the most opposite hits at Major League Baseball, and yet they're still playing a shift on him. So, you know, it's just kind of we'll just play
the
same
defense. When the
front office computer
spits out that scouting report, that's all you go by. You don't go by what you've seen. You only go by what you've read. I mean, that's our problem, Big Jack. We're not looking at enough numbers. We don't have enough spreadsheets.
I'm not reading the scouting report.
Yeah, well, no, we're not reading enough spreadsheets of numbers.
Yeah, so that's
0100100.
I want to play with this, you know. Well, you know, that's like they say, you know, at the NFL scouting combine, you know, a guy can do all the physical tests really well, but isn't the true test the game film?
Yeah.
you know, it's great that we can show, you know, this guy does this all the time and blah, blah, blah. And then when he stops doing it, maybe you need to change a little bit. So.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's another process I'll never understand. I mean, even if you look at game film, the most you're going to get out of watching game film on a college kid is, does he have that potential? Because, you know, the greatest players in the NFL are in the NFL. They're not in college. That's why Johnny Manziel was a Heisman winner.
You know, just because you ran a 4-whatever 40, you know, and you jumped however many feet, doesn't mean you're going to be a great NFL player. You know, it's kind of, you have to, right, you know, and, it, you know, kind of the same goes for baseball. I mean, you know, the important thing is the curveball, you know?
Yeah.
When it's a runner on third and two outs and we need him to come through, can he do it, or does he swing for the home run three times and he goes down on three straight pitches?
Yeah. Well, you know, they need a Major League Baseball combine where pitchers do shot put.
That would be cool. Oh, so. I would actually watch that. Here's so-and-so doing the shot put. So, would they have to spin around like ones do, or would they have to hop like I did when I was trying to learn how to spin around? So.
They'd have to spin around, and outfielders would have to throw the javelin.
Yes, towards home plate to see if they could land it on the plate.
Exactly.
Dude, I'm telling you, we've got something here. Yeah, we got something here. Somebody get the copyright ready, and let's draw this up and start pitching it to MLB now. You know, the draft. Well, you know, it can just be the draft combine, and we'll be all ready to go. So we'll just have to figure out something for the hitters tomorrow.
videos.